Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wild Ginger Running live broadcast and subsequent podcast. So today I am going to be taking you through my packing for the Arc of Attrition 50, which is next weekend. I am kind of bricking it because training hasn't gone to plan and I just don't know if I'll be able to do it in the cutoff times. Now, I've just realised that I've got a new snazzy light that I have not switched on. Let me just go and switch that on. Where does it come down? Is it this? Yes, it's that one. Let me just plug that in. There we go. And why not just turn it on at the same time, hey? Right. Here we go. Good, light. We're light. Here we are. So, before I take you through this huge mountain of packing that I've got in this lovely transparent box here, I just want to let you know that the podcast and the live broadcast is now sponsored by Knack. So, I'm going to be using Knack products on my Arc of Attrition, and each time I do a podcast or live broadcast, I tell you about a different Knack product. This time I'm going to be talking about the Ultra Recovery, which is vanilla flavoured, and I've just literally made one up here in this bottle. I haven't shaken it yet so that I can just show you that you use about 400 or 500 mils of any kind of milk. I've got them for some nice soy milk in here, and then you just, they've got a scoop which you just scoop out there and it fits into the top of the bottle and you just give it a tap and it goes right in. So I had my first one of these the other day because I did two runs in one go, like stupidly trying to cram some training in. And I thought, oh, this will be a good opportunity to get some recovery stuff in me because I don't usually use any kind of sports nutrition as a recovery product. But I thought, no, this is the time when I'm going to be needing this. And the reason I don't usually use recovery products is because it's always far too sweet and it's not that pleasant to drink. But these are not too sweet. I don't know how they've done it, but it's kind of pleasant to drink with a vanilla-y flavour, but it's not too sweet. So I really, really appreciate that. I think what you could do also, what I'd like to do is like whiz up some banana with this, like whiz up some frozen cherries, get some oats involved, and you could make this a really nice breakfast smoothie. So I'm going to be sipping this throughout the broadcast and enjoying it immensely because I haven't had my lunch yet and I'm starving. So that is the sponsorship done. Oh yes, there's a 15% discount code which is in the film description below. I will write it in the film description below. If you want it immediately during this broadcast, go to the last live broadcast. It will be in there, but I need to put it in there after I finish the broadcast. So go to knack.com to use that one. I think it's actually knack.uk.com. I'll put it in the film description and the podcast show notes so you'll know exactly where to go. Fantastic. Oh, we have a live chat here from Peter. He says, good luck during the ARC 50. Can't believe you're doing that at this time of year. I know, but people have just done the spine race. Like, that's crazy. We have a former patron that was doing the spine race, Pascal Mathenay. She unfortunately DNF'd again because of a knee issue. So that is commiserations to her. But massive congratulations to Jack Scott, who beat Jasmine Paris's record on the course. Hopefully, I've been in touch with Innovate to get an interview with him. So maybe in February, we'll have an interview with him about that because you know how I'm doing the series about last place and proud of it. We interviewed the guy who came last on the spine race, Graham Bruder, last a couple of weeks ago. And yes, so Jack won and he smashed the record, but he's got this great story in that he's overcome a gambling addiction. So I think that is a good enough reason for us to speak to a winner of a race, don't you? It's a really good inspiration for all. Let's get him on board. Okay, so let's just move the NAC stuff to the side. I'll be showing you a few more NAC bits and bobs as we go through the broadcast because I'm taking it all with me. I've written a big list. I like to just write stuff out. So I've written a big list of the ARC of Attrition kit list, numbered 1 to about 26. So there's 26 items to go through here. The first one's really easy. It's just a GPS tracker, which will be supplied by the organisation. Tick. Waterproof jacket with taped seams. So I'm using the Saw running jacket here. It's got a quite a nice pocket in the back here, and it's big as well. It only weighs amazingly 240 grams, which is brilliant, but it's really large. It's a size large, and I always use a size larger jacket in these things because I then can put it on over the top of my backpack if needed. You know, when it's like on and off weather and you just can't be bothered to take your pack off and on again. The other thing that I also do with jackets when I get too hot is sometimes if I'm wearing my backpack over the top, like to start with, for example, I'll just take the arms off and have it sort of sandwiched between my backpack and my back. And it sort of just flaps around there and it just gives you a bit of the ventilation that you need. You don't have to take the pack off and put it into the pack or anything like that. You can just leave it there between your backpack and your back and just put the arms back on when you're ready because your back is getting sweaty anyway because it's got a backpack there. So that's just one of the two things that I do to sort of try and be efficient. I'm going to need all of those tips because I am really not sure that I'm going to make the cutoffs for the ARC. We'll see you next Saturday. Hope you'll be watching my dot. Right, so that is waterproof jacket, 240 grams Saw jacket. Next item on the list is waterproof trousers. Now, Saw don't make any waterproof trousers, so I'm using my Montane podium pants. You'll notice that I just put everything in these plastic bags. Transparent plastic bags are the way to go. I just put everything in loads of little ones and then you can just put them around the pack. Somebody did suggest on YouTube comments to... I said I was going to go through YouTube comments. Better get them up there. Somebody said in the YouTube comments that I'd be better off putting more things in bigger plastic bags. Now, the problem with that, I find, is that then I can't fit them into this backpack, which is the Salomon 12 set, Advanced Skin 12 set. So it's a 12 litre backpack from Salomon, because the pocket spaces are quite small. So you kind of need everything to be small to fit in. If you have like a massive wedge of clothing in this back section here, it's not wide enough and it sort of like pops its way out. So that's why I put everything in tiny bags. Let me just have a look at any of the comments on the ARC of Attrition video just to make sure I go through them all. There we go. Yes, we've got some from some people. Okay, so these are the waterproof trousers. Really light podium pants from Montane. I really like these. They're just really super light, do the job, and you don't notice you're carrying them. And you don't really notice you're wearing them because they're so stretchy. I really like them. They weigh 100 grams. So then we've got long tights or leg cover. Now, I'm guessing that this is something you have to carry with you because it says it's on the kit list. But if not, then I'm happy to just not take these because if I was just running myself, I don't know that I'd take these It's long tights and slash leg colours cover. So I've got these thermal leggings that I can put on. I can put them on over my normal leggings and then put the waterproof trousers on top, and that will make me loads warmer. And if it's still cold like now, like actually frosty outside, sub-zero temperatures, I definitely would want to take them anyway. But extra leggings isn't something that I usually take, even in winter on long runs. So I will be taking it, obviously, because it's mandatory kit, but I don't usually need them. But obviously, it's for when you get injured perhaps, or fall down a hole somewhere and need them then. So gotta take those. Next item on the list is a warm hat. Wow, I put the warm hat. That's the gloves. Oh, I think I've been wearing the warm hat. Oh, that's annoying. I don't know where the warm hat has gone. Here it is. So here we have just a basic bog standard beanie from Saw, and then it wants you to take a cap as well. I love a cap. I love a visor, actually, more likely. So, this is a peaked cap. It's essential if you don't have a peak on the hooded bit of your waterproof, but mine does, but I like to take a cap anyway. Doesn't weigh much. And then a buff. So definitely going to be taking one of these Wild Ginger Running buffs. You can get them in my shop. I don't know if I've got a little shop thing here to pop up. No, I don't think I've got it. I've got my Patreon though. I'll pop that up. Yep. No, I haven't got a little thing about my shop. It's basically wildgingerrunning.co.uk/shop, and you can buy one of these for a tenner. I'm about to send one to Christian Poulton. It is here in this little packet. So Christian, you'll be getting that shortly. Okay, so that is the hat and the gloves and the everything. Emergency survival bag, not blanket. So this is very important, to have a bag rather than a blanket. The blanket, you've got to hold around you with both hands. It flaps, so all the heat is going to be disappearing, basically. And also doesn't leave your hands free to do useful things like eat food and drink things, like drink hot drink, and also call the emergency services. So I've got my bag in here. I've just taken it out of it. It's from Harrier, and it just comes in a little sort of material bag, like a canvas bag with a drawstring. So it's just lighter to put it in this plastic bag, keeps it from unraveling in my pack. So there you can see it's just a bag rather than a blanket. They're super cheap to just get online. It's really handy just to take one of these on every run, to be honest, because you never know. You never know, like, what's going to happen to you, but also it's about what might happen to someone else. You might find someone else that needs your help on the trail. So yeah, not just about you. So that's my survival bag. Next one is two base layers, long sleeves, one can be worn. So that's why I think the long tights are extra tights, because it doesn't say you can just be wearing these. So I've got a couple of base layers. The one that I'll be wearing is in the wash, because I have just been wearing it lately on my runs. But it's this red long sleeve running top from Saw. It's got some reflective bits on it, and it's long sleeved, and it dries really quickly. It's very, very comfortable as well. So I'll be taking that with me. I wouldn't usually take a spare long sleeve top, really. I'd be taking maybe a spare windproof. Like, maybe I could use that. It is long sleeve. It does say base layer though. So I'd usually wear one of these, and then I'd probably take, I'm definitely taking this instead. This is my insulating layer from Berghaus. It's the Berghaus Hypertherm. Unfortunately, they don't make them anymore, but people like Om do make similar insulated jackets, like Om, Rab. So it's insulated, and it's really impossible to run and be cold in this. I always have to take it off, even if I start running in it. So it's just a really lightweight insulating jacket. It weighs 200 grams, and I would put this in over this long-sleeved extra layer, because it just stuff that's tight to the skin over the top of, you'd have to take everything off to put this on, whereas this could even go over my waterproof if I needed it to. So I'm just gonna take this as well as part of the mandatory kit, because obviously if it's on the mandatory kit list, you must take it. No arguing with the race organizer. It's there for a reason. So that's my long sleeve layer, and this I will probably be starting off in it because it might be quite cold at 8:30 in the morning. I'll be hanging around at the Minack Theatre waiting to start, but otherwise it will go in this clear plastic bag and just slide into the main compartment of my pack, so it's handy. Peter has looked at the forecast for me. That is really good of you, Peter, thank you. So he says the forecast is looking pretty good, 10 degrees in sunshine, maybe some showers. Oh, excellent. Do you know what though? I don't know if I would just want it to be really cold because it's supposed to be really, really muddy on the course. So I'm thinking that the colder it is, the icier the footpath will be and I won't sink into the mud, so I might actually be faster. but who knows? Who knows what the advantages are? The pros and cons. Then number 10 is a whistle. So there's always a whistle on packs these days, but I am suspicious about how good they are. Because they're basically tiny and they make a tiny cheap noise as if you're a tiny chick or something. Who's going to hear that? Now, I don't even know where this one is. Here it is. Like, I've just dug into the side pocket on the top of the shoulder strap of this rucksack and I found this tiny, tiny, tiny whistle. I'll just give it a blow. I mean, dogs might hear you. But I have got another whistle, which is in my first aid kit. So I'll just give that one a blow and we can have a vote. I'm going to take both because, you know, safety first. Two whistles is always better than one. I mean, it just sounds a bit louder, but it also sounds like you're the coach of a sports team, so it doesn't necessarily signify danger. But either way, I'm taking two whistles. 11, mobile phone in a waterproof case. So I'm taking my huge iPhone thing. I don't have an actual waterproof case for it. I just thought I'd put it in one of my clear plastic bags and possibly not even get it out if it's really, really wet. The only problem with that is that I was planning to use OS mapping. So I was planning to use the OS map and, you know, find out where I was. I've got the, you can see my light there. That's Cornwall. That's the coast. So I was planning to sort of follow the diamonds there of the Southwest Coast Path. The great thing about OS mapping is that if you do have a signal, you can use the maps offline, but if you do have a signal, it will put where you are on the map. So it's like a sat nav for the outdoors. It's absolutely brilliant. Don't know what kind of signal I'm going to get there though. So I'm just hoping that I can follow the signposts and also the GPX on my watch. So, and for that reason, because I've got OS mapping on my phone, I'm going to be taking this charger as well for my phone. It's got a tiny little phone charger cable there, and this is the Goal Zero little pocket charger, and that just gives my phone an extra boost. It charges it once, so I've got like two phones with me. So that's just extra to me. It weighs 85 grams, that charger and cable, so it's kind of a no-brainer. Then, this is something that people often get wrong on the ARC, and every single year the organisers say they have to turn people away because they got it wrong. So hopefully anybody watching this video and the other mandatory kit film that I did on the channel just the other week will know about the head torch situation. So it's two head torches and a spare battery for each head torch. If you don't have a spare battery for the head torch, you can take a third head torch or a fourth if you haven't got two spare batteries. So I've got a Petzl Now. Petzl are going to be sponsoring the film. So Petzl Now. Reactive lighting, so should last a fair few hours on reactive lighting. Who knows, because you never know what lighting it's going to provide for you, but it should last about five or six hours, hopefully, something like that. I've got a spare battery for that, which is just, oh, it was in there. It's here. That's my spare battery for the Petzl. Now, then I've got a Petzl Swift, which is my backup torch if anything happens to the Now. This does also have a spare battery capability. You can take the battery off the back there and that is, you can get a spare battery for that. I don't actually have a spare battery for that, so I am taking another torch. This is the Petzl Bindi. It's also doubling up as my nighttime GoPro light you up head torch. It's 200 lumens, which is the minimum requirement of brightness for the ARC mandatory kit list. So with those three torches, I will pass the kit check. You can also take a handheld torch as well. And instead of the Bindi, I could just take a spare battery for the Swift, but I don't have one. And I also need to take this anyway, so makes sense to have three for me. Or I could just take two Bindis, couldn't I? Instead of the Swift, I could take two Bindis. But, you know, you want to have, I want to have, like, the opportunity for more than 200 lumens with these torches. Okay, those are the torches. Next one. Ah, this is also interesting. Apparently every year people get this one wrong as well. You need a rear light. Oh my goodness, where is my rear light? It was on here. Oh, don't tell me it's fallen off on my last run. That would be very irritating. I did have a little clip-on rear light. Oh no, I can't see it. So, yeah, who knows where that's gone. Oh, that's really annoying. So I did have a little clip-on light that I clipped on to my backpack, and now it's disappeared. So that is a good learning point, because if that had happened in the ARC, might have got DQ'd. So I need to get myself a new flashing rear light. The one on the back of the battery of the Now doesn't count. So an extra I'm looking for an extra light now, unless I can just find it around the house somewhere. Or maybe Finley's taken it. Who knows? so then, that's another thing on the to-do list. I'll circle that one. Okay, the next one is liner gloves and waterproof gloves. We are on to number 14 now. So I like to use these little sort of, they're kind of fashion gloves, but they're sort of woolly and they do stay warm even when they're wet. They've got these little tips on them, so you can still use your phone, sort of, with them. So I could still take some pictures and that kind of thing and use the touch screen of the phone. Then I've got some waterproof mitts coming from Salomon. They're going to be the Bonatti mitts, and they're a great combination of just a mitt glove and a glove and with a thumb hole, and then a mitt of waterproofness that comes over the top. So I'm really looking forward to those, because I can't find my waterproof gloves anywhere, and all I can find is my windstopper gloves from Extremities, which are also really good but not actually waterproof. So those will be being ditched for the slightly lighter, actually, Bonatti gloves, mitts from Salomon. Spare socks I might take. That's just a wild card there. I might take some spare socks. I'm being sponsored by CDAS as well, so these are CDAS socks for the event. I've got their insoles as well, because they just make shoes much more comfy for me, and they make sure that my foot doesn't slip around in the shoe. These socks I really like because they have a silicone gripper area around just after the heel, just before the arch of the foot, just before the main arch of the foot. They've got this grippy silicone weave, which is super good for making sure your foot stays in place in the shoe and doesn't slip around and cause you blisters. So I really like these socks, and I think I will take a spare pair with me. Because isn't it so nice? You know, like it seems really muddy and gritty on the ARC 50. So I think I really feel like maybe I should be taking some extra socks with me. So I just put all those into the clear plastic bag to put at the bottom of my bag. These I'll probably be wearing at the start and on and off during the race, so they just go in a side pocket. Okay, the capacity for 1.5 litres of water. Now, I've done a bit of research, which has namely involved going on the Facebook group for the ARC of Attrition. Make sure, if you're looking into the ARC, make sure you go on the La Sportiva Facebook group. There is a random spam Facebook group set up for goodness knows what reason. I think they try and charge people for being part of the crew or finding out more information. Who knows? If they want to charge you for more stuff about the race rather than entering it, then definitely don't go there. So go on the La Sportiva Facebook group, and there's loads of really helpful people on there that told me that you basically throughout the whole race, you probably can get away with, unless it's a really hot day, carrying just 1 litre of water. So I'm going to be carrying those in 2 500ml flasks on my front of my backpack. But the only section that you might need a bit more if it's a hot day is from Pendeen to St. Ives. Because it's a bit longer and there's no chance for the archangels, which are the kind of roaming support sort of network that can come and give you some more water if you're not supported by your own crew. So you've got to have an extra 500ml bottle. This weighs like 30 grams. No brainer to just stick that in, just in case it's a super hot day. It's better to have the capacity to carry it and not carry it than not. Okay, emergency food. So we're coming on to the knack. Here, I'm going to take these two bars as emergency food. They're 200 calories each. One is like a chocolatey, peanutty one, the blue one, and the red one is a berries one. Oh, they're both delicious. I will look forward to breaking into this emergency food if I have to. A rucksack. So the rucksack is bizarrely on the mandatory kit list. I don't know how quite they thought you'd be carrying your stuff if you weren't taking a rucksack. Maybe running around with one of these plastic boxes, perhaps. But yes, I'm taking the Salomon Advanced Skin 12 set, as I said earlier. I just find this is a really good fit. I think I use the small. I generally use the small ones. No, this is a medium. Salomon make small things, obviously. This is a medium size. It's 36 inch to 38 inch, which is 91 to 96 centimeters. When it's fully packed, I do still have the chest drawstrings closed quite tightly. So it is kind of a big fit. I'd probably go with the small, maybe, who knows. But the thing I like about this pack is that it's very stretchy and there's a trillion pockets. You can put the water up front, you can put a million snacks up front, round the sides. The back also features this really cool pocket just at the top. It just goes down that far and you can, it's like as far as like a hand width, like a hand length far, and you can shove your waterproof jacket in there while you're running by putting your hand behind your head. So that is a really good design. I actually did chop part of this out because it had a separate sort of bit for your hydration bladder. I never use the hydration bladder, so I just cut that extra bit of flap of fabric out, and then I realized that means that all the stuff in the main compartment can go down the sides as well. Look, I'm putting my hand in through the top and it's coming out through the sides, which doesn't really matter, I don't think. Maybe I'll just sew this bit here sew this bit down here, but that was the reason for the extra bit of fabric there, presumably. But I just found that it was making things too narrow and I couldn't get things in, and I just want one compartment in here. I don't want two, because when you're trying to get stuff out or put stuff back in again, it's just really annoying. So I just want one compartment there, so I cut it. Number 18 is a foldable, reusable silicon or rubber drinks cup. Now, I did the Lakeland 50 earlier this year. So if you've ever done the Lakeland 50, you'll know that they have this massive cup war basically going on, where they require you to take a rigid cup, like this plastic one that I'm holding here. This is from just after uni. I worked at a company called Eden Brown in Manchester, and this is a cup from their like marketing merchandise. So I've had it ever since. So it's lasted really, really long time. I went to uni. I left uni in 2005. So it's nearly 20 years old. Is that right? Yeah, nearly 20 years old, this cup. And it has seen many a hiking trip and a camping trip, and it's done me really well. I put also some gaffer tape around it because that's sometimes useful for repairing poles and things like that. And the reason that the Lakeland 50 say to take a non-collapsible cup is just for kind of health and safety reasons. With Marshalls pouring hot tea into those bendy silicone ones, that they can sort of flobber around and spill the hot water everywhere. So it's just easier to have a hard cup. Some people said you could take like a collapsible one as well. That's not an option on the Lakeland 50. But you can take one on here. And they're those ones that they come in like a either silicone, or you can get plastic ones as well, but they sort of concertina down into a squish. So that might be an idea if you haven't already got yours sorted. 19, route guide showing checkpoints, cutoffs and safety info. That is supplied, so we'll gloss over that one. I've also done my own based on the splits for the lady that I interviewed, Lizzie Hughes. I interviewed her because she came last in the ARC 50 in 2023. So I've written out all her splits from the results page. Basically, I'm going to be trying to stick to these because I genuinely think that I am going to be the last place this year. And I will be very proud of it. And I will interview myself about it. So, I'm hoping to get to St. Ives, which is the first checkpoint.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In 8 hours or before, at which point it will be dark, it will be 4:30. And then I'm hoping to get to the finish just before midnight, which will be a further 7.5 miles. So it's 28 miles. So did I say a further 7.5 hours, I think? I don't know what I said there. Anyway, it will get dark at St. Ives. That's 28 miles to St. Ives, and then it's 22 miles, presumably, to the finish, if I don't go the wrong direction, which could be a thing. Who knows? So I've printed out those splits, and that is my route guide for myself. 20, advisory items. Explore a map. That's over here too. I've only got this one, but I've got it on my phone, so that's what I'm going to use. This is for crew, really, as well, to have a big map fold out, and you can get all the roads where you're going to meet your runner. Also, Colin Bathe on the Facebook group said, don't follow the green diamonds, which signify the national trail. They're out of date. So, use the GPX. So my job after doing this broadcast is to download the GPX onto my watch, because don't leave it to the last minute. Stuff might go wrong. 21, GPS watch loaded with the latest GPX of the route. Just talking about that. Don't leave it to the last minute. This is the Garmin 245 music. I don't ever put music on it. I use my phone for the music. I don't think I will be taking my headphones or using any kind of music or podcast or calling people on the Arc of Attrition. I just think I need to concentrate and I need to not use up battery life on my phone in case of emergency. 22 was my GP, my gradient profile and plan for the race. I've just shown you that. I can't find a gradient profile for the Arc of Attrition. There was, for Lakeland 50, there was a really nice gradient profile. So that's a sideways view looking at all the hills on the route, and you can match, you can put on where the checkpoints are, where the high points are, and you can estimate your timings that you should be hitting to get between those things. So I haven't done one for the Arc. I might just stick to Lizzie's timings, which I just showed you on this, and just because it's so hilly, up, down, up, down, up, down, it's not like there's going to be a significant mountain to get to the top of and come down on. So I think I might just keep to Lizzie's splits here. You can find them online on the results page. Number 23, my GoPro, selfie stick and spare batteries. So I obviously am filming this for my YouTube channel. So I use a GoPro. This is a Hero 8, and it's got a foamy bit around it which reduces the wind noise, so I can talk to the camera without using microphones. And when it gets dark, it is going to be dark from about 4 until about midnight, so that's what? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 8 hours. I'm not good at counting at the moment. 8 hours of darkness to film in. So it's going to be pretty boring if you can't see me. So I've got a little light, the little Petzl Bindi here, and I've been out on a night run. I've tested that and it works. So going to have some great footage of me running in the dark. Excellent. This weighs 350 grams without the Bindi. With the Bindi probably weighs an extra 70, maybe 50, 70 grams, something like that. So that's a whole workout in itself for the arms. Then poles, yes, number 24 is poles. These are not on the mandatory kit list. We're going out of mandatory kit list area now. We're just going to my kit list. I'm going to be using the silver trail running poles. They're carbon fibre, and they've got a really good design that I like here. It's kind of like the Leckie poles, you know, with their the shark grip. Oh, can we get these apart? So they've got, let's put that down there. They've got this really good, this is the left hand one here. So you just put your hand through the little glove that is attached to the stick. It's not just a loop that you put your hand through. It's an actual glove with some Velcro on. You wind it around your hand, stick the Velcro down, and then you are attached to the pole. And you can, just above your thumb on the handle of the pole, there is a button that you can press. And that takes your gloved hand away from the pole. So when you want to eat some food or stow your poles away for any reason, you just unclip yourself like that. And then I can't put myself in, I haven't found out a way of putting myself back into the pole one-handed. It does take two hands just to pop you back in there. Other people might not have that problem, but it is a two-handed job to get yourself back into that pole. Okay. Oh, Christian's on the live chat. He says he'll be proudly wearing the buff on the 27th. Fantastic, Christian. Yes, it's a great colour that you've ordered, the blue there. That will go with the jacket that you're wearing in your photo on your YouTube avatar as well. So thank you very much for buying the buff, Christian. And if anybody else wants one, we have them in orange and pink as well. Let me just get them. There we go. Orange and pink. Imagine a blue one as well, but I've just sent it to Christian and I need to get some more out of the loft. Okay, next thing. We've got spare socks. I told you about those already. First aid kit. Now, spare batteries for the GoPro as well and spare SD cards because, you know, you just don't want a dead GoPro. I used to take a spare actual another GoPro as well, but for this reason, I'm just like, I'll just use my phone and have a bit of a shorter film if it goes wrong. Yeah, so that's the GoPro batteries. So quite a bit of extra weight that I'm carrying for filming it. It's kind of like 450 grams maybe all told. If I take all five spare batteries, kind of found that it's like one battery per 10 miles. So five batteries for a 50-mile race. Yay. First aid kit. They didn't say to take one of these in the mandatory kit. I don't really know why, because I think that is would be the first thing that I'd put on there. It's just got some plasters in there, some alcohol wipes, trench. I'm going to be using this beforehand as well. It's a waterproof barrier cream for not getting trench foot on the race and just making sure your feet are kind of a bit lubed and kind of sliding around rather than not sliding around, but you know, not rubbing against it themselves and the sock. There's a little bandage in there. There's some normal plasters. There's also some K-tape as well. So I've got some padded dressings and I'll just be putting some pre-cut K-tape around those. That's kinesiology tape. So that's my first aid kit. Sunglasses. I am planning to take sunglasses down with me. What do I do with those? I've got these Sun God ones, which Tom Evans, who won the UTS 50 and came third in the UTMB a few years ago. He designed these. They're really good sunglasses. Don't know if I'll be using them, but take them down anyway, because you never know. My eyes are quite sensitive. I tend to get like migraines and stuff. So I usually take sunglasses if it's at all sunny at all. Food. The last thing is food. I will just go through the food and then I'll go through all the things that people have suggested on the YouTube. Food. All of it's going to be snacks. So we've got a few more of the bars that I'm keeping for emergency food. So a few of those. Then we've got these nice waffles. Chocolate flavour and salted caramel flavour. Absolutely delicious on a run. Really like those. They're really light as well, so I might put in a couple more. I'm really not sure how much food to take. Then we've got these energy purees. This is sweet potato and butternut squash flavour. Actually, a lot nicer than it sounds. Kind of like baby food in a pouch, but it's savoury. It's like a soup, like a cold soup. I actually really like that. And then we've got an energy puree, which is apple flavoured. Now, this, the one that I tasted, tastes exactly the same as the butternut squash one, so I don't know if it was just packaged wrongly, but I'll try another one and see if it actually tastes of apples this time. It's supposed to be apple and maple syrup, but it did just taste exactly the same as the other one. So I will try this again. And then extra food. So I'm going to be taking a tuna sandwich on white bread, and a cheese sandwich as well, like probably with some kind of tomato-y, cucumber-y essence to it. And also be taking a couple of packets of crisps as well, just because I won't get to the St. Ives checkpoint where there's actual food until 4:30. So I kind of think I need to take some savoury food with me, even though these knack pouches are quite savoury. So the other things I need to do is I might take some currants with me as well. So these are, they sponsored me a bit last year, but I've still got like a huge box of them, which I'm not telling them about, so they don't realise and take it back from me. I'm just working my way through these. It's a New Zealand blackcurrant extract that I just take because I'm getting old and my joints hurt. So I'm going to take two of these during the race, two of them before the race, and two of them after race as well. So hopefully that will make me not achy and reduce the onset of DOMS as well. So I do take these. They are very expensive, but I do recommend them because they're really useful, I find. Kim Collison uses them as well. And also Christian Morgan uses them, who just did the record on the Appalachian Trail as well. Oh, cool. There's some more chats. If you've got any questions, by the way, just shout out on the live broadcast. If you've got any questions about race gear or like recommendations, I am going to answer one from Kat in a minute. But I'll just read out some things here from patrons. Peter says he might have to get him one of the orange buffs. The real buffs are so good. He's been using his patron one loads in last week. Yes, so if you're a patron of a certain amount per month and above, for loyalty after 3 months, you get one of these. These are a buff, an actual buff. So from Actual Buff, I collaborated with Buff and Om because they're owned by the same parent company, which is called ARC, funnily, but with a K, not with a C, like the Arc of Attrition. And we just stuck all of our logos on there, and it's a really, really good buff. Now, I only actually have like three or four of them left. I do have another blue one. I only have four of these actual buffs left, but I am selling the imposter buffs on my website as well, wildginger.co.uk/shop, only a tenner, whereas actual buffs are like twice the price because they're brilliant and there's a reason for that. Tadeusz says, good luck on the run. He'll catch up when he's back in the office when he gets his headphones. Maeve, hi Maeve, haven't seen you for ages. How are you? And how are your girls? best of luck in the race, Claire. Thank you so much. Johnny Doyle says, what? No Mars bars? No, I just don't know if I like chocolate during a event. I'm a massive chocolate fiend, absolute chocolate fiend. But in a race, it's kind of like the last thing that I think of to like eat or pack. I don't know why. It's really weird. Chocolate's for normal living, civilian life. So I'm just gonna go through a few of the really helpful comments now that were put on YouTube about the race. If I can find my mouse. So Arlene very helpfully said that if it gets really cold, then I could really do with some hand warmers. A couple of people actually suggested that on the YouTube channel. So I have got hand warmers now on my list of things to pack. And I think that's a fantastic plan. She has said to pack, a lot of people have said to pack the non-reusable, like the throwaway hand warmers, but because I'm in the Green Runners now, I might have to pack my reusable hand warmers, which will be a lot heavier, but I just feel like, oh no. Martin Weston has just come on and said, read the OS maps, they are out of date because the coast path is always changing. The GPX is very good. He just used that on his watch. As a general rule, if the path gives you multiple options, stay close to the sea, but not too close that you go down a cliff and fall into it. I'm guessing, yes. So yeah, that is what Colin Bathe said to me. He said that the OS maps are out of date and, you know, who can keep up with that constantly changing coastline. So yes, I will be following the GPX as well. So thank you for that, Martin, and see you there, hopefully. Let's see some more tips. So someone has said run with an extra buff wrapped around your wrist, which helps for a little bit of warmth for the hand. It's also something to wipe a nose on as well. So that's from @hermeticallysealed. Thanks for that comment. The other thing about that is you can put your buff round. Where's a buff? Let me get my buff. I'll show you. You can. Ow! Bloody hell. Ah. I'm not going to be in any fit shape to do the arc at this rate. I just banged myself on the box that I put everything in. So starting with the buff between your finger, thumb and other fingers, make a twizzle it round for a cross shape and then put the rest over your wrist like that. And then this can actually hold your gloves as a little pocket. I learned this from an Ellis Brigham trip to Glenmore Lodge. So you can put your gloves in there and use it as a pocket as you run along, if it's tight enough. I don't accept any responsibility for things falling out of the pocket. Then the next one is hand warmers. Someone says, Alan says hand warmers as well. Joanna says she would take a bit more food because the section from Zena to St Ives will drain a lot of energy. So I need to be on top of my nutrition for the whole race, especially that stretch. And she's speaking from experience. So thank you, Joanna. Yeah, I've upped that to 2 sandwiches and 2 packets of crisps, plus all the next stuff in there. And then I've just planned to basically pilfer the checkpoint at St Ives and put it all in a bag and eat it as I go, hopefully. And Chris says they'll also be giving us some free Precision Hydration fuel and gels at registration, including the 90-gram gel pouch. So he says, I'm not sure if you've recce'd the Pendine to St Ives section. No, Cornwall's 5 hours away. But his tip would be to keep the 90-gram gel pouch for that section because it's the toughest one. See you on the start line. I hope you come and say hi, Chris. Thank you so much for that tip. And yes, I will definitely make sure that I have enough food saved from that section from Pendine to St Ives and Zena to St Ives as well. I'm not sure which one. Oh, so Pendine, it goes Pendine, Zena, St Ives. It goes Start, Land's End, Senen, Cape Corn, Pendine, Zena, St Ives, Checkpoint, Dark. In the Dark, Hale, Goodevery, Portreath, and then the finish at Porthtowan at the Eco Park there. Okie dokie. Other people just saying good luck. Peter is saying, with the winter runs, what happens if it goes below zero with the water bottles? Don't the nozzles and maybe even the water in the bottles freeze? Now, in the UK, well, not in Scotland, in England, down south, that is quite rare. Cornwall tends to Cornwall is the least snowy, least cold place in the UK. So I'm hoping that that's not going to be the case. Yes, it does happen up in the mountains, like in the north, in Scotland, Wales. But I'm hoping that for a coastal run in Cornwall, that won't be a problem. If it is, I would do the thing where I put my waterproof jacket on over the backpack, so it will cover the entire of my backpack and that will keep them warmer with the heat of my body. So that is my plan. You can also get various pouches to put bottles in with reflective silver on the inside so that they retain the heat. You can get insulated bottles as well, and you can also get an insulated, if you've got tubes, you can get an insulating foam bit to put around the tube. The nozzle, I'm not sure. I think the advice I used to give when I was working on Trail, the Hill Walking magazine, was to, if you've got like a pipe and a nozzle, or no pipe actually, you blow don't let any water stay in the nozzle, blow it back into the bottle or into the tube, or in all the way down the tube back into the bottle, blow it back down, so then it hopefully won't freeze because it'll be part of a larger water mass. So that would be what I would do there. Somebody said, how do I manage my electrolytes? New Fire SK says, how do I manage my electrolytes? I basically wrote a reply saying, I just don't. Like, I don't sweat that much. And I don't very much pay attention to like the micromanagement of my nutrition. I'm really bad for that, and that is probably why I'm a back of the pack runner. I don't pay any attention to that kind of thing. Food is like the last thing that I think of when I'm going on a run, which is weird because I love food. So yeah, electrolytes. There was Dr. Howard Hurst, who's been writing some stuff for my ultra running book. He said that you don't need to worry about piling in the salt when you're doing these ultra runs, because if you're eating some normal food as well, you know, like a cheese sandwich, a tuna sandwich, crisps, then you'll be getting enough salt from that as well. So I'm not an excessively sweaty person, so it doesn't tend to bother me. I've literally never had a cramp in my life, apart from once scuba diving. And so yeah, I don't manage my electrolytes, sorry. There's lots of good information on the Precision Hydration website though. They sponsor the race, so definitely have a look on there. Stuart Norman says, consider putting your nutrition in your side pockets of your vest in a small plastic Ziploc sandwich bag. So then you can just pull out the bag and identify what you need rather than digging your hands around into the vest and fishing out all the various items, which can be a real lucky dip. So that is a good idea. I just don't know if it will fit. So that is a good idea. Like maybe I could put all the bars in one bag and all the pouches in one bag. I like that idea. Thank you very much, Stuart, for that. So Pepe Sylvia says, interested in testing saw gear after watching the videos. Is there a working promo code we can use? I'm really sorry, it was picked up by aggregators, so they banned the code. It was a really nice code. It was 15% off saw. So no, sorry, there is no code, but they do a month-long trial period where if you find that the item that you've purchased at great expense from Saw isn't working for you, then you can take it back and buy something else. So it's kind of quite a good investment. It's kind of, that's a good reason to make the investment there, because you can get something that you genuinely really like. Peter says, a while ago I did a video on the different ways to use your buff. I showed my daughter the pirate and she loves it. Yes, I did do a video about how to use a buff. And that was part of the deal of getting all those buffs for free for my patrons. Great idea from Matt H, on the YouTube. He says, use a Salomon pulse belt for your poles. And he hopes to see me at the Minac. I hope to see you too, Matt. So yes, this is a belt. Someone else has suggested using a belt as well for food. I think it was Jamin. Shall we just have a look? Yes, Jamin. Ever thought about putting food in a belt in the pack? It spreads the weight out in the pack. My pack weight, all told, was 3.4 kilograms, which I thought was quite good. That is minus the sandwich though, so it might be up to 4 before I start eating things. So yeah, using a belt can be a great way to carry poles. It's easy to put them on a belt and then just swing them around to the back again, rather than trying to put them on the individual shoulder straps, or some backpacks only have the option to sort of put them sideways across the pack or behind you, and it can be just difficult to put them in. Quiver can be a quite nice way to put poles, but not all packs are designed to take a quiver. If you got that Salomon custom quiver, then you would have to sew your own bits on to clip it on, which isn't a problem for a lot of people. I've not tried running in a belt with poles attached like that before, and usually if I'm doing a 50 mile race with poles, I just tend to use the poles the whole time. So I think I'm going to risk not using the belt. I haven't run enough with the belt to sort of make that a good idea for me at this late stage, but it is a really good idea, and it is something that a lot of people are doing, and something to bear in mind if you want easy access to your food and poles. This is Lisa Green. She says, if you're looking for waterproof gloves, sealskins are good. Yes, they are. I did have a pair of bright yellow sealskin waterproof gloves, but they have disappeared. I don't know what's gone on with all my gear, but I am getting those Bonatti ones from Salomon, so I fingers crossed they come in time. They have been ordered. Michael Rooney says, thanks for the video. You should be able to swap the battery out on the Swift RL. Yes, I didn't realise in my mandatory packing film that I put up last week on the Arc of Attrition 50, that I didn't realise that the Swift RL had a battery that you could swap in and out. So sorry about that. And I now realise, but I don't have a spare battery. Antifreeze says, if you need someone to meet you en route with a second supply of food, let me know. I live in the area. So hopefully I'll see them on the route. Thank you so much, Antifreeze. And someone said yes to the poles, but would not be enough food for me. Cool. Okay. And there was... There was some other questions as well that I haven't seen yet. Let me just click onto those, and then I'll just answer a question from Kat about her race kit. She wants to know about bivvies. Okay. Oh, I haven't replied to all of those. Okay, it's just John saying good luck. Thank you, John, for the good luck. Fantastic. Okie dokie. Right, so if anyone has a live question for me about race kit, like gear ideas for mandatory kit, then just let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to answer this question from Kat, who wants options for a bivvy. She needs to take a bivvy bag out on her adventures, so she wants ideas. Hannah Basley suggested a really good shout, which I was going to say, a really good budget option if you need a bivvy for your like longer and more remote trail running and hiking trips, is the Alpkit Hunker. It's a waterproof bivvy bag. It basically looks like a sleeping bag, but it's just it's basically a waterproof jacket for your sleeping bag. So it's the same shape as a sleeping bag. They do three different colours, green and red and blue. I think red is a good idea to stand out in the environment. Green, if you're like a nature lover and you're trying to take wildlife photos, great, but you want to stand out otherwise as a person in the outdoors. It's £56, which is absolutely brilliant for a waterproof bivvy bag. If you want to push the boat out, however, there's the Rab. This is the Ridge Raider, and this is what I had when I worked on trail. I slept in one of these on the side of Great Gable, I think it was, one time. So that's the Ridge Raiser Bivvy Horizon, it's lots more. It's £420, so this is really like, it's a really high-tech piece of kit. It weighs just under 900 grams, which is a really, really light weight, like considering that, you know, it's basically a tiny, tiny tent. It looks like a tiny coffin, which is a horrible way to think about it, but that is what it looks like. It's bright orange. And it's larger than a traditional bivvy, so you don't get that kind of claustrophobic feel of like the fabric right next to your face, like you're in a body bag. But it's much smaller than a single person tent, so it's great for like when you're going like on a long trip or you need to sleep somewhere remotely. I wouldn't recommend it for like doing stuff like the spine or anything like that. Not that I am ever going to do the spine, but I'd take something small and lightweight like the Alpkit Hunker for that kind of thing. But this is, you know, like if you know that you're going to bivvy out for like several days at a time, it's worth investing in something like this because it's got height to it. It's got one little pole that you put over, and it's got a zip door, and you've got this pole so that it just lifts the fabric away from your face. So that is, there's two extremes really. There's a tiny, tiny tent and there's just a body bag basically. So I think, Kat, for your trip, maybe the suggestion from Hannah of the Alpkit Hunker would be the best option for you. Cool. If there's no more questions, I've been rambling away. I can't believe this. I've been rambling away for 53 minutes now. So I need to now pack all my stuff back up into this nice transparent box. And then just fingers crossed, please follow my dot. And please watch the mandatory kit list and give me any more opinions, any more little last minute comments. Put last minute comments on here as well. And just wish me all the best for the race. I will be filming it. And so you'll know by the end of the day whether I've made it or not. or if you're not watching my dot and you don't keep up to date with my social media, you can just wait till the film comes out. final just housekeeping things. The podcast is sponsored by NAC, and I will be putting the 15% discount for NAC products into the film description and the podcast notes at the end of this broadcast. And I have been trying, I said I'd be sipping away at this throughout the broadcast, but I actually forgot. This is the recovery, ultra recovery powder from NAC, which is super good because it is not too sweet. It's something, which is something that we all very much appreciate in a nutrition product. So that's really nice. I actually really like that vanilla flavour. And I'm looking forward to adding stuff like banana and oats and cherries and stuff like that to it to make it even more exciting. Okay, thank you for watching, everybody. Good luck if you're racing this weekend. Good luck if you're training. Good luck if you're resting. Have a great one, and I will see you on the trails. Bye, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.